Would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles now to the account of Easter morning, same as we read this morning from Luke chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24. In the red Bibles, you'll find that on page 599, and the blue ones, 1218. 559 in the red? Okay. Just checking. Not really. All right. The Gospel of John, chapter 24. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We'll read the first 12 verses, which we also read this morning, and then we'll read a brief section at the end of the chapter, verses 35 to 43. Now, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it perplexed. It happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe, them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And skip from there down to verse 35. Verse 36 will begin. Now, as they said these things, this is the report of the men who had been on the road to Emmaus, who Jesus came up to and explained and expounded to them what had happened in Jerusalem. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Let's ask the Lord to bless this reading and the instruction that we find here. Father in heaven, we rejoice to know that your word is not a dead book, but that your word is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide in soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. By your word, all the thoughts of our hearts are discerned. Oh Lord, help us to have hearing ears. Help us to have understanding hearts. Oh Lord, let us not be unbelieving. Oh Lord, but let your word and spirit so work and convince us in our hearts that we would be believing, holding fast, trusting sure in that witness and testimony that you have supplied. We ask all this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we return, as it were, for another look at this portion of God's holy word, I trust you see and appreciate the momentous nature of this historic account of the Word of God. It instructs us, it teaches us in that which would matter most. In fact, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, the first thing that I have, that I delivered to you, it's not Christmas, it's not everything that happened in the past, but that Jesus died according to the Scriptures. That He rose again according to the Scriptures. And so we have at the center of the Christian faith, you know, of all that we might believe, of all that we must believe, it all begins on Easter Sunday, doesn't it? That we serve a living Savior. That we serve the risen and ruling Lord Jesus Christ. For except we start there, we have no hope. We have no salvation. You know, Paul goes on and on. You know, if we in this life have hope, of all men, have hope now only, we are of all men most pitiable. He says, then we've believed a lie. Then what we are believing, what we are maintaining as Christians is something less and something other than the Christian faith. Than the gospel as revealed and as proclaimed by the apostolic witness of God's word. And I think that the importance of this event, you know, creeps into our lives, in our liturgy, in many ways. How often do we celebrate Christmas? Once a year, right? Thanksgiving, once a year. How often do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Once a year. Good Friday, once a year. How often, how many times do we celebrate Easter? Every Sunday of the year. Every time we meet for worship on the Lord's Day, we are remembering, we are acknowledging that the Christian faith is in the balance with a living Savior. In fact, we have this tradition of reading the 52 Lord's Days of the Heidelberg Catechism. Well, why do we refer to it as the Lord's Day? Because God's calendar was forever reset on Easter morning. It's like the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. This will be the new first month of the year for you. This will be the new first time of your calendar. Well, it's the same thing with Easter. It begins at the resurrection. And so every week we gather, we celebrate, we sing praises to God, all in the light of these Easter events that we celebrate even and read about this day. We will look this evening at a somewhat perplexing aspect of the Easter story. And that is that after rising from the dead, Jesus still had to convince his disciples that he was really alive. Think about that. He's risen from the dead. The grave where he was buried is empty. And what do we read in the text? That people didn't believe it. And not just people at large, people in general, but his generals, apostles, didn't believe it, didn't receive it. In fact, we looked at that this morning, didn't we? Look at verse 11. Their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe them. In fact, that whole account which we studied before of Jesus coming up to these apostles, these disciples who were traveling on the road to Emmaus. I can't hardly read that passage without getting tears in my eyes. Where Jesus says, how slow of heart are you to believe all that has been spoken? Oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? Don't you see? It makes all the sense in the world and to enter into His glory. And if your Bibles are open, look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. And He goes with them and is going to go beyond without them. And they said, no, stay with us. Stay with us a while. And Jesus is made known to them in the breaking of bread. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? And it says they arose at that late hour, went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11, verse 33, and those who were with them gathered and said, the Lord is risen indeed and truly has appeared to Simon. And they told about all these events. So what we have here is a number of eyewitnesses to the resurrection. In fact, the Apostle Paul makes great hay of this, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He talks about how he was first seen by the women, then by Peter, then by the 12, and then by more than 500 brethren at once. And then to the apostles. And Paul says, and last, as one born out of due time, even to me. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so we have this as the witness and testimony of God's revealing Himself and His resurrected Son. And so the surprising witnesses to the resurrection, I think, is that God first reveals these things to the women who came to adorn His grave, to add spices to His tomb. And so we saw this morning, didn't we? The angelic witness. Why are you looking for the living one among the dead ones? He is not here. He is risen. And then this wonderful phrase. We're going to see it repeated with the apostles in just a little while. He says, remember what He said to you. Remember how He told you that He must be betrayed. He must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He must be crucified and rise the third day. And how did they respond? They believed. They remembered His words. That He had foretold the very event among all the ironies of Scripture. In the Gospel account and in the book of Matthew. Who remembered His words? His enemies. Remember, they went to Pilate and said, hey, we remember what this guy said when he was alive. What did he say when he was alive? That after 3 days he would rise again. So Pilate gave him a Roman guard. They made the tomb as secure as they could. Roman seal? Was it concrete seal? I'm not sure. Maybe both. But the tomb was sealed. The guard was placed. But who are men before Almighty God? We're told the angel comes down and they fall on the ground as dead men. Well, it is these eyewitnesses of the resurrection that are most remarkable. You know, the most we get, at least initially, out of the apostles is, look in verse 12, Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Marveling. This is amazing. How do we explain this? Gospel of John. You may have noticed every now and then you'll read of John talks about in third person this other apostle, this one whom Jesus loves. Well, as he's talking in John chapter 20, he does the same thing. He says that they ran to the tomb, and the other disciple, who is John himself, right? So what verse is that in? Yeah, there it is, John 20, verse 4. So they both ran together, Peter and the other disciple. They both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. So John was there. He was up by the door. He looks in. He doesn't go in. He doesn't go in. Then Peter came, following him, went into the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Look at verse 8. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and what? And he saw and believed. Believed what? He believed what the women said. The message of the resurrection was reality. He believed. Then he comments here, for it was not yet known. They had not yet known the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. So that's the best we have. The women heard, were reminded of the Word of God, and believed. They remembered. Peter, whoa, this is cool. And we're actually told there's a visit that's recorded to Peter at one point. And John, it says that he believed. So we have these somewhat surprising witnesses to the resurrection, but those witnesses are met almost universally with doubt, with uncertainty, with unbelief. Verse 11 again, their words seemed like idle tales. They did not believe them. Well, we have this event on the Emmaus Road. These two disciples who had seen now on the resurrection afternoon and evening, but I think it even names them somewhere. I don't put it right at hand. They go back to Jerusalem. They come and speak to the apostles. And tell them. Look at verse 36 now. This is an evening, the evening setting of on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Verse 36 of Luke 24 says, "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" But they were terrified. They were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. So Jesus says to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. What is he saying? Look at my crucified hands. Look at my crucified feet. It's really me. I was dead on the cross. I was buried in the tomb. But now I am alive forevermore. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Do you have any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And so the persistence of unbelief is remarkable. What are they not doing? What are they not hearing? What are they not seeing? You know, it's this exact setting that gives rise to those verses in Gospel of John chapter 20 where it says, "Peace be to you." And he repeats those words, right? "Peace be to you." And he breathes on them. And kind of a pre-Pentecost for his apostles. And it is with that power, with that spirit, that they are enabled to believe and to put their hearts at rest in the promise of his grace. Well, it is these things that are part of the Easter evening reflections on the Christ. We spent some time a little bit getting into what I was going to cover tonight. How reliable is the apostolic witness? You know, they say they wrote all of these things, but they don't present a really positive view of themselves. I mean, on a certain level, you could say they sounded pretty ordinary, pretty foolish even. And yet here it is, supposedly works written by them about them. And I think what that does is it adds credibility to the witness that they were bringing to the people. Jesus himself comes to them, stands in their presence, and shows them that he is the same one who had died. You know, there are those in liberal Christianity, some mainline churches, that want to say that Jesus resurrected, but only in the teaching and the ministry of the apostles' preaching. You know, they're going to make the best of it, of all that they learned and taught about Jesus. But that's not the gospel of Scripture. It's not the gospel of Scripture. In fact, Gresham Machen, whom some of you know, became one of the founding ministers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, had gone off to Germany, studied under the Rudolf Bultmann and the Karl Barth in Germany and so on. And he said a lot of what they said. They were so loving and kind. But in the end, he concluded that what they were preaching and what they were teaching was not biblical Christianity. It was something filtered. It was something less. It was something that was different than the gospel as it's known, as it's revealed in the scriptures of the Word of God. And so it is. If you're going to believe and hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to the words of Scripture. You know, the writer of Hebrews says this, doesn't he? He says, those who come to God must believe that He is who He says He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, this whole idea that you can serve God half-heartedly, that you can do one little bit and that's good enough for God, is no comprehension of the biblical gospel. It's not. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's what the Bible says. And now someone else is going to say, oh, we don't have to diligently seek Him after all. What have you just done? You substituted your spin, your view of Christianity for biblical Christianity. And I hope you see that's not wise, because it's something else. All right, He comes, He speaks. He shows them His hands and His feet. We believe in the resurrection of the dead because Jesus rose from the dead. Not a spiritual thing, not a redefined thing, but a real physical body that was buried is the very same one that was made alive and lived again. And that's going to be the same for us. We're going to die. Maybe your parents, your grandparents are dead and gone. But guess what? Our hope, if they were believers, is that one day we will see each other again. And this whole idea that we're not going to know loved ones, I don't see that as possible at all. How can we know what God did if we don't know what God did for us? How will we sing His praises? How will we remember His works unless we know? And so our knowledge of God, our knowledge of worship and praise is anchored in history, here and now. Back in Calvary, back in Jerusalem, where these events took place. And of course, the convincing elements of the resurrection all resound in the one who died and rose again. You know, and don't be mistaken. Jesus' resurrection was not like any other resurrection. You know, Jesus raised some dead people, right? The little boy of the widow of Nain, he raised Lazarus after 4 days. Well, guess what? Each of those would die again and would be buried. But not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so for the incarnate Son of God who lived down His life for the salvation of His people. Jesus came and spoke and taught these things. In fact, I love this. One of my favorite favorite Greek words is found in this verse and one other place, where he says in verse 39, "Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself." Look at my side, right? Handle me and see. What does that mean, handle me? Touch me, right? Shake me. Poke me. It's really real. I'm really me. Jump from here. You don't have to turn there. But it's a remarkable connection to that very word. Psalephao is the Greek word. In 1 John chapter 1, we have this statement of the gospel. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may know that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Well, where it says there, which we have heard with our ears, seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. In other words, they're making a connection, aren't they, between themselves and the gospel message. And the gospel message is that Jesus really was born, He really lived, He really died, and what? And He really rose again from the dead. He really is the conqueror over sin, Satan, death, and the grave. And He lives forevermore. Jesus comes, doesn't He? He says, "It is I. Believe." Interesting, when the women... What did the angel say to the women? Remember what Jesus said. But we know that God works, actually some of our catechism kids could tell us that. Where does faith come from? The Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts. How? By the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Better have the Word of God, so that the Holy Spirit will use it to convince us, to mold and to shape us by His Word. Well, we didn't read these verses, but if your Bibles are open there to Luke 20, 24, look at verses 44 and 45. "Then He said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" Word, right? And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Word and spirit is how the apostles believed. Guess what? That's the same way that we believe. We need to hear the word. You're going to find a church, and you don't see them opening their Bibles very much. You don't see them reading their Bibles very much. Find another church. It's the word of God that you need to hear. It's the word of God that we hear and need to hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So hear that word, believe that word, respond to that word, and trust in that which God has given. Jesus says, I was alive, I was dead, and now I am alive forevermore. I possess the keys to death and hell. That means he has authority over anything we can fear. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of dying? Well, trust in the one who is in charge of death. Hope in him who has the power over it. So that death is no longer to be feared. You know, the Old Testament psalmist saw this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Then what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I go in the midst of battle, and I'm most likely to die, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. I think word and staff is shorthand for God's word and his promises. And it is these things that just accumulate and build our faith and our resolve to hold fast to the truth. Ran across a quotation. It was from John Calvin, and it just struck me today. It was a post, something like this, and I'm not quoting it directly or exactly. But he says, you want proof that God loves you? Isn't that the question we all have? Does God really love me? That the maker of the universe really loves me? Well, guess what that Creator has done for you? He's called you by His Word and Spirit. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will save you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you question God's love? Just hope in His grace. Trust His Word. Believe what He says. And you have full knowledge, full confidence of who He is, of what is His supply to you. And so we conclude this evening on Easter Sunday, don't we? Remembering what happened and believing that it did. And what is the benefit here? Well, we see our sin. We see the Savior. Put our hope in His care, in His grace. We trust and rely in Him. Might He be pleased to encourage and to strengthen us now and forevermore. Amen. Father in heaven, we bow with grateful hearts. We thank You for the Word, for the Scriptures, for the knowledge of You. O Lord, that You came down to earth, You suffered and died and rose again, You ascended on high. And then You gave gifts to Your church and to Your people. You gave them apostles and prophets, pastors, teachers, elders, evangelists to show and to proclaim Your love and Your grace to Your people. Help us to hear and to believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.